Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Hello, and welcome back into another episode of The Nate Darling Show. I am Nate Darling. With me, as always, is Jason Casey. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Nate.
Oh, that was loud.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not you. No worries. Let me get mic adjusted properly. Mm-hmm. Kareem has a business thing tonight.
Ooh, business.
He's taking care of business. TCB.
TCB.
Like Elvis. So, we
no
got...
Why?
Got,
no, why?
Why?
I'm just kidding.
Speaking of Elvis, we have a new feature that I'm calling Meantime in Memphis.
Okay.
We'll get to that this show. Plus, what happens when winter hits Michigan?
Isn't it always winter there?
No. Kid Rock taught us sometimes it's summertime in northern Michigan.
Oh, sometimes.
That was the song where he rhymed things with things.
I see. Okay.
He's so talented. He is. He's a wordsmith.
So fucking talented.
Wordsmith. So, Jason, how are you?
Doing all right.
Good.
Doing all right. How you doing?
I'm doing well. We were just before we came in to do the show today. This is why Jason's asking. We were having a conversation in the dining room area with Jason and my wife, and he was telling a story about him and his wife having, you know, working on marriage stuff and talking about stuff. And Leslie brings up a point that the quote was, "I tried to schedule a time to talk to you about something, but you wanted to deal with it right now." Now, that in and of itself sounds like, well, you probably want to deal with it quickly, but why not wait? Here's why not wait. The sentence that came before that. "I have something I need to talk to you about, and you're not going to be happy about it." Yeah. Can we schedule some time to talk about it this week? No, we can't schedule time to talk about it this week.
Nope, we're going to talk about it now.
Right, because here's what I'll do. All I'm going to do is make up worst-case scenarios in my head until that moment in time.
Until it happens.
Absolutely not going to schedule something. This is a happening now situation.
Well, it's nice, and like you have to take into account that other people... You don't want to scare people off from telling you things.
Right.
But at the same time, there should be the expectation that we should just talk about stuff to get over with.
Yeah. I need to talk to you about something, and you're not going to be happy about it.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's just wait a week. Hey, you know what? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it in 2 weeks. Yeah, you just schedule 2 weeks. And
yeah, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Yeah, 2 weeks, 2 days, whatever. Let's hit the DVR.
Yeah, like can we just get back to the Bachelor in Paradise?
Sure. Yeah, let's flip it right on. Let's go with it. Where? What are they doing now? Who's screwing who?
All
right.
They all are.
Yeah. the conversation, not important.
Yeah.
The part of it. It was just the preamble to the whole thing that was like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Schedule some time.
Yeah, schedule some time. I hate it.
Ooh, 2 weeks? Gosh.
Yeah. If your boss at work does that to you, I don't know about you, but I will sit around and go, what the hell is this about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's always tough, right? No matter how good you might be doing your job, no matter what you do, whenever it's the person in authority over you, even if it's a volunteer position, whatever it is, when they say, "Hey, listen, get something. We need to sit down and have a talk. When's good for you? Like, can we do it tomorrow?" Like,
right.
Anytime someone wants to have a conversation with you,
right, and it doesn't even have to be like a supervisory anything.
Yeah.
So it's not like my wife is my boss. It's anybody who wants, we need to have a talk.
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
We need to talk. And it comes from the earliest stages of dating. Because nothing good ever happens in a relationship after the sentence, "We need to talk."
Yeah, no.
We need to talk. You know,
I mean, it
you
could
know,
be a good thing.
Yeah, we need to talk. Here's the thing. I really love you. And I think you're the best partner ever. I couldn't be happier with you. I just needed to tell you.
Then you're like, we're fucking breaking up. You did this shit to me, and I've been thinking the last 24 hours.
Yeah, no, never happened.
You're sleeping with somebody else. What the fuck? We need to have a talk, but tomorrow morning, maybe. No, you can't spend the night tonight.
I hate the vague, we need to talk. That is the worst. If you're going to tell me that you need to talk to me about something, then at least give me sort of a framework of what we need to talk about. Like, hey, I need to talk to you about what's going on with the, Daniels account.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We just want to check in, see where things are at. Okay.
Dope.
Yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Great. Hey, I want to talk to you about something tomorrow. Yeah, just set aside a couple hours and, we'll sit down. Yeah, it's nothing big. We just need to go over a couple things.
Just a couple.
Yeah. Extra, add two words and take away all of the stress.
Yeah.
By the way, I do not let it slide. I always ask the follow up question about what?
About what?
What are you talking about? Oh, no, we're about tomorrow. No, I'm worried about it now. You brought it up.
Yeah, we went.
You brought it. It was important enough for you to bring up now. How about you let me know now? Just so I can be prepared when we have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Call me paranoid.
Mm-hmm. You got every right to be, bro.
DTA, don't trust anybody. Stone Cold taught us that.
Don't trust anybody.
That's right. And for a happy belated Stone Cold Steve Austin Day, March 16th, 316.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass. We didn't mention it on the show last week, and I feel like I let everybody down. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But we do depend on you. We do depend on you for our WWE and wrestling.
Well, it's well beyond that. It's well beyond wrestling.
Well, yeah.
He's a media icon. He's a worldwide media icon.
What was that show that he was on? The Bull Run? Is that him? That was Goldberg. Never mind.
Yeah, he's got the Broken Skull Challenge, which is an obstacle course racing show, which is quite good. He also had a show called Redneck Island.
Redneck
Island. He hosted that. He likes to host reality shows. Mm. You know, just like our president.
Yeah.
Just like our president. Yeah. So that leads us into this. It was a busy week for the president and the people who defend him. Tommy Lahren, you know who she is, right?
I fucking hate her.
We all do. She's a cute blonde girl who, yeah, she's not really that smart, but she looks good on TV. She understands why liberals want to impeach Trump, and she's going to drop some knowledge on you right now.
Like it or not, President Trump has done some outstanding things for the people of this country. Let me help you and your delusional band of impeachment-hungry fools understand.
By the way, when you yell things at me in a shrill manner, I'm probably not going to take it in.
And can you imagine, like, if somebody was... I don't know, man. I just can't believe people openly talk like this, like, to, like... Ah, man. Okay, go. Continue. Please continue. It's fucking... Oh, my God.
Let's start with the economy. Trump pushed through a tax cut for 80% of American taxpayers. And what do the Democrats want to do? Raise taxes. American paychecks are getting bigger under Trump, and they want to fix that. Seriously? The economy has also added more than 2 million new jobs. The black unemployment rate is at just 6.9%.
It's like my cat is yelling at me. That's what it feels like. It feels like my cat's yelling at me.
I don't believe anything that she fucking says.
Well, so we're getting there. We're getting there. Now, there's a lot of reasons to refute the things that she's saying, and we're not going to do that. We're not going to get wonky like that, Jason.
Yeah, no, I understand. I'm just saying I can't, like, handle it. Like, I just can't handle it. Like.
Well, we're going to get it out of the way. We're going to rip this Band-Aid right off.
Oh, fucking A.
Going to rip it right off.
The second lowest ever recorded. Oh, and the Hispanic unemployment rate was at just 4.9% last month, just a tenth of a percentage above a historic low.
Why aren't these black and brown people more appreciative? Why?
And here's the thing about new jobs, low unemployment, and economic growth. They help all Americans, black, white, brown, left, right, and center. Is that the kind of accomplishment you want to impeach? President Trump is also dedicated to protecting our homeland. The number of people caught...
Oh, go on.
Trying to sneak across the Mexican border has plunged to a 46-year low. And the percentage of illegal immigrants...
How do you know the number of people trying to sneak across the border?
I'm glad that she knows.
I mean, where are you getting that from?
Arrested for criminal activity across the country is up to 92%. And how about ISIS? Remember
that? How do they know how much criminal activity is going
on? Under this commander-in-chief, they've been decimated and control little territory in the Middle East. And despite the hysteria over President Trump's tweets and his, quote, tone, North Korean rocket man Kim Jong-un has decided to come to the table.
Now, when Obama said that he would be willing to meet with Kim Jong-un, the Republicans were all very angry that he would agree to meet with a dictator with no terms, no conditions. Now it's cool? Now it's cool?
Well, it's their guy, so it's all right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, Nate. You know how it works.
Oh, yeah, it's true. It's true. But we're getting to the real point. Why do you liberals want to impeach Trump?
Is it historic? Yes. Is it impeachable? No. Trump's done all this and more with virtually no help from Democrats. And you want to impeach him?
Well, first of all, why does he need help from Democrats? Republicans control literally all of the government at this point.
For what? Keeping his promises? You're a little...
No, for colluding with the Russian government. For money laundering, for conflict of interest. There's a lot of things.
I mean, we could go into the list, but we don't have enough time.
You know, being a treason weasel.
Activist groups are shelling out millions to stop a president who is winning. And you can't even give us one solid and honest reason why.
I could give you plenty, but you would not listen.
Yeah, Robert Mueller's working on that. I'm waiting for that.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for a really comprehensive list. That's what I'm waiting for.
I'm waiting for him to be proven guilty. Beyond a reasonable doubt.
I'm waiting for at least the Mueller thing, which is taking a little longer than people would like. First of all, it's really going quickly by comparison. It's faster than Watergate.
Yep.
Watergate took quite a long time.
And there's people being arrested.
Mm-hmm. Charged.
Charged.
Pleading guilty. There are people pleading guilty. That's what I'm really waiting for is kind of the Mueller investigation to go, okay, where are we with literally all of this?
A man who, a lifelong Republican.
Correct. And a Marine.
So he's a Republican and a, okay. So I just want to be, okay. So he did serve in the government.
He sure did.
But he's part of the deep state?
We'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to that. Not with Tommy, of course. But again, she's going to get to why you liberals want to impeach Trump.
Have you instead thought of donating your millions to causes you say you believe in instead of wasting it on a campaign to destroy a president you're simply jealous of? It's very obvious you're not afraid Trump is a bad president. You're afraid because he's too good.
There you go. You're afraid because he's too good.
I don't. It borders on a sickness and... Like, really, like, mental illness. Like, all, like, it really does. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, 35% of America, dude, you guys are fucking retarded.
Well, don't use the R word.
Sorry. You guys do not have the mental capacity that is needed. I'm sorry. I shouldn't even say that. Listen.
No, you shouldn't. What they are is...
Angry white people.
Well, then they're not all white people, Jason. That's the thing. That's the misnomer. They're not all white people. There's Hispanic people. There's three black people.
So sorry, 90% of white.
there are people who are so hateful and resentful of anybody who might be a Democrat that this is their guy. The baffling thing is the evangelicals flock to him. I don't get it. And by the way, I'm a little angry with you, and let me explain to you why. You recommended a podcast to me this weekend called The Dollop. and they did a two podcasts.
I should have told you not to go on to listen to that one first.
Two podcasts over 3 hours and 10 minutes on Donald Trump. And just, I mean, allegedly. And went through from childhood through being elected president. Not the things that have happened since, but just into what type of human being he is. And let me give you it. I'll give it to you in one word. Horrific. He is a horrific human being in so many ways, allegedly. He is a sexual predator, allegedly. He is a deadbeat who stiffs people. That's not alleged. That's actually been proven. And he has done business with some very nefarious people and had them in positions in his organizations that would suggest that allegedly something untoward might be happening. I'm just saying. So that led me down the rabbit hole to another podcast called that was suggested, Trump Inc. And if you haven't heard of this, what is Trump Inc.? Well, Trump Inc. is a combination of ProPublica and WNYC Studios. And they are, it's basically this investigation into what is Donald Trump and his business dealings, specifically since becoming president. So I just listened to the first episode titled Trump's No Conflict Situation, which is the point very early on where he said, there's no conflict of interest situation here because there can't be conflict of interest. It's mind boggling. It makes the whole thing makes me angry just to listen to it. And has it take away any achievements, accomplishments, policy things that he might have done as president? The conflicts of interest that are unprecedented historically and how he is doing business and handling that part of it or not handling it is incredibly problematic, ethically speaking, because ethics don't enter into it anymore. He has literally no ethics. None. They did not, apparently they don't teach that at the Wharton School of Business. No ethics.
I wonder if the Wharton School of Business will eventually have to like be like, no, listen, he went here, but we're not claiming this precedent. We're not having a presidential library.
Anymore. You know what? I think they will, though. That's the thing. The people that are into him are really into him. Really into him. Somebody who was really into him for a while, but then sort of fell out was Rex Tillerson, who allegedly called Donald Trump a moron last summer in a meeting. Well, as you probably heard, he was fired sort of via tweet. Not necessarily because General Kelly called him while he was on the toilet in Africa. Not making that up. He took a sick day from his Africa trip where he was apologizing for Trump calling all of Africa shithole countries. And he was sick, and he was on the toilet when John Kelly called him and said, you probably want to keep an eye on the Twitter. So the president of the United States fired someone else via Twitter, a man whose trademark is telling people you're fired, clearly does not have the fortitude to tell people to their face that they're fired when it's their actual job. Because he does it via tweet or he has some other person do it for him. So Rex Tillerson, who was the head of Exxon prior, which would be the economy of Exxon is essentially the economy of a very large country. But he said, you know, I'll be Secretary of State. And by all measures, not really a great Secretary of State, not even a good Secretary of State. So he flew back to the States, and he held a little press conference saying goodbye to everybody, and people watched, and some commented.
I want to speak now to my State Department colleagues and to our interagency colleagues and partners at DOD and the Joint Chiefs of Staffs, most particularly. To my Foreign Service officers and civil service colleagues, we all took the same oath of office. Whether you're a career, employee, or political appointee, we are all bound by that common commitment to support and defend the Constitution, to bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and to faithfully discharge the duties of our office.
Well, this is all coded.
As a State Department, we are bound together by that oath.
This is really cryptic.
We remain steadfast.
That's right, it's Alex Jones playing it on his show and commenting along. Now, does any of what he says make sense? I'm going to help you out. No, it doesn't. It really does. It really doesn't. But let's just listen to what happens. To be fair, I just did this to Tommy Lahren.
Yeah.
Here in Washington. And at posts across the world, many of whom are in danger pay situations without their families.
This is some kind of signal to the stay behind networks.
The world needs selfless leaders like these.
He's really proven to be a double
ready
agent.
To work with long-standing allies, new emerging.
He's really proven to be a double agent. What?
Partners and allies who now many are struggling as democracies. And in some cases, are dealing with human tragedy, crisis of natural disasters, literally crawling themselves out of those circumstances.
This is all coded.
These are experiences that no lecture hall in an academic environment or at a think tank can teach you. Only by people going to the front lines to serve can they develop this kind of talent. To the men and women in uniform, I'm told for the first time in most people's memory, the Department of State and Department of Defense have a close working relationship where we all agree the U.S. leadership starts with diplomacy. The men and women in uniform at the Department of Defense, under the leadership of Secretary Mattis and General Dunford, protect us as Americans in our way of life daily, at home and abroad. As an all-volunteer military...
All right, well, he's just basically virtue signaling now, but that earlier stuff about taking the oath and everybody needs to stay at their post and everything, that was... Stay at your post, I guess, means deep state. Stay there, hang on, cavalry's coming.
Or it means don't everybody quit because you're the ones protecting the United States now.
Yeah, what...
Deep state. The deep state's coming for you. The cavalry's coming.
This is Rex Tillerson, the head of Exxon.
And remember, Alex Jones is also the guy that was telling you, like, a couple years ago that Obama was getting ready to raid everybody and, like, that they're setting, like, they're running drills in Texas
right.
at all the Walmarts. And, yep. like, they're getting ready to take everything from you.
They're taking your guns.
They're going to take your guns. Everything. Get the fuck out of here.
And people listen to this. By the way, I saw somebody with an InfoWars bumper sticker on
their
car the other day.
Did you fucking punch him in the face and drive him off the road?
They were parked.
So?
They were parked doing yard work over here.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, dude.
They're out there. They're amongst us.
I guess the best thing to do with people like that is just ask them questions.
No, it's not. It's really not. Here's the thing. If you know somebody, you personally know somebody, and then you find out one of your friends is like that, then yes. Then have the conversation. And first of all, don't belittle them, because that won't get you anywhere. That's what podcasts are for. Podcasts are for yelling at people and belittling.
That's the only place you can do
it. It's what we do. I just thought it was important to share that. I mean, this is what he's saying about Rex Tillerson. Who was the head of Exxon, who was Donald Trump's choice to be his Secretary of State. Part of a cabinet that Donald Trump himself said was one of the best, was the best ever. What, 6-8 months ago? And now you're talking about virtue signaling. And by the way, whenever I hear anybody use the term virtue signaling, I just want to punch them in the face. How's that? How's that for a signal for you?
Yeah, Rex Tillerson was part of draining the swamp because he wasn't.
Yeah, drain the swamp of the oil. I have muted people on Facebook, snoozed people on Facebook for, cause you snooze people for 30 days. You don't see any of their posts for 30 days.
Oh.
It's a feature. I have done that anytime I see something like using terms like virtue signaling, the right, the left. Anybody who talks like that, I don't want to hear from for 30 days. I put them in their own timeout.
I had one of, Chris's relatives posted this thing, that said, liberals are, upset that, are upset with Republicans because Muslims don't like the, it was so ridiculous. It was just about, but it like basically came down to something along the lines of like, Muslims are offended by the Star Spangled Banner.
Right.
And liberals, are upset about it. You know, are upset with people because they have to listen to it. And it's like, and it's that repost if you don't care. Like, it's like, and they fucking reposted it. Like, it was just like, what the fuck? Like, first of all, you know that there's family members of yours that are like, that are liberal.
Don't care.
And like, they don't, I've literally never heard anything of this nature saying that, like, that there was Muslims that were upset with the Star Spangled Banner. Like, because nobody, like, when you care, you don't fucking say anything because you're worried that people are going to be fucking assholes like you. So you don't say anything. You don't, like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, and the whole point of the protest of the Star Spangled Banner was about
police brutality.
It was police brutality, but it was the unequal treatment of African Americans.
Yeah.
And it was a peaceful protest, and everybody got their panties in a wad, including the 45th President of the United States, which blew it up into something way bigger than it would have been otherwise.
Well, and flipped it into something about disrespecting soldiers and the flag.
Correct. Which, you know, shockingly enough. Anyway, let's move on from this unpleasantness, Jason.
Fucking A, man. Different assholes.
I've been wondering how long it was going to take for somebody to finally reach out, considering the Trump administration and their denial of literally everything that they've done wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And denying things that they've said in front of cameras and open microphones. How long until someone reached out to Shaggy? I'm like, pronouncing that wrong. Shaggy.
Sugar.
Well, the answer is, the wait is over.
Mr. Bombastic.
The wait is over.
Donald J. Trump, what? Open up, Mr. President, it's me, Special Counsel Robert Mueller.
What do you want, man?
I just want to talk.
No collusion.
I never said anything about collusion.
You're the puppet.
I just want to ask you some questions about Russian influence on the 2016 election.
Well, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say it wasn't me.
All right. Special counsel got you sweating like crazy, tweeting that it's a witch hunt. Open up, got some questions about Russia, evidence you should confront. I'm just trying to learn the truth and figure out how much you knew. All this time, my investigation never took its eyes off you.
This time Russian girl's gonna bite me in the bummer. I never should have fired James Comey last summer. Pundits call me dumb, but I need me look dumber. I blame Hillary, boy, I really outdone her. To be a true deal, I know the art of the deal. If Mueller's pressing charges, then I'm going to appeal. Delete my work email before they reveal. I paid her Stormy Daniels, so she spot me till I squeal.
Manafort committed tax fraud.
It wasn't me.
Had shady business dealings abroad.
It wasn't me.
So many staffers who could be bold.
It wasn't me.
How'd you think you wouldn't be caught?
It wasn't me.
I wanna know who conspired.
It wasn't me.
With Russian bots who were hired.
It wasn't me.
Treason may have transpired.
It wasn't me.
I think your pants are on fire. Special counsel got you sweating like crazy, tweeting that it's a witch hunt.
Have a seat. James Corden. So much better than Carpool Karaoke. It's on YouTube. Go ahead and search for James Corden Shaggy. You'll find it.
Oh, this is James Corden?
Yeah.
You're getting real close. You see them talking Russia on the cable news shows. And nothing to hide. I'm going to
propose. You talk to my lawyer cause I can't be deposed. You know there's gonna be a lot of tough interviews. Don't care about Don Jr., he's a son I can lose. Stick to the plan, I cut the fake news. I really should have told you Sessions not to recuse.
Shall we talk about the P-tape?
It wasn't me.
We got a copy on replay.
It wasn't me.
And our mouths were just a game.
It wasn't P.
I mean, my God, it's the P-tape.
It wasn't P.
I just came in and I caught him red-handed, tangled in a web of lies.
Say goodbye to the video is priceless. Yeah. I mean, the audio is really good, too. Because it is... But you haven't lived until you've seen Shaggy in a Donald Trump wig.
Yeah.
Well, it was good having James Corden here while it lasted.
You keep saying that. Stay out, works out for you. What about my family? Don't you worry, they're coming. Ivanka, Don Jr., Tiffany.
Tiffany? Who the hell is Tiffany?
Well, enjoy England, James Corden, because you're going back.
Oh, man.
Wait, what? What? I got to go back?
It's the liberal media, bro. All right? Just the liberal media.
Right. Totally. Well, he is part of the liberal media.
It's a liberal media.
Liberal talk show, liberal late night show talk, again, liberal late night talk show host media.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. And now it's time. You've been waiting. You've been wondering, what the fuck is it? It's time for something I like to call Meantime in Memphis.
Put on my blue suede shoes and I boarded the plane.
A video is going viral on social media right now. And this time it's not for the right reasons. A woman who appears to be in her 70s or 80s was seen driving a mobility scooter onto a dangerous Memphis highway Friday evening around 7 p.m. The terrifying incident was recorded live on Facebook. The video is being filmed as a cry for help. Facebook user Tawana Murphy asked her friends to please share the information with police as she followed the woman onto Interstate 55. I'll throw this up on the big screen for you, Jason. Said, whoever is watching this video, please call 911 so we can get this lady where she's going. The video ended with a Memphis police officer working to assist the woman off the scooter, but she refused to comply. It's 10 minutes long. Down the middle of the street. Let's skip ahead here in the video. And now she's on the freeway. Unbelievable. And not even in the right lane. She went one lane in. She's in the second lane. Can you imagine? But that wasn't the end for Memphis, no. An IHOP manager was left bloodied after he was attacked by rowdy female patrons who threw punches, chairs, and plates at the worker.
What?
It's according to Tennessee police who were seeking to identify the assailants. According to cops, the melee touched off Friday morning at an IHOP restaurant in Memphis after the victim, Muhammad Al-Hirani, 28, asked the group to, quote, please keep it down. If you're wondering what that sounded like, Jason. Detailed in the Memphis Police Department report, Al-Hirani told cops that when diners started to get louder, he asked the suspects to just leave, still yelling the diners departed IHOP, but kept coming in and out of the business and taunting. He said he called 911, but before police arrived, he was attacked by one of the suspects near the front door. In the video that you're hearing now, which was shot by a diner unconnected to the raucous party of five, the manager fought with one woman near a booth while two of her friends threw plates at the worker from point-blank range. Al-Harani told cops he was struck in the head several times. Now, after the 5'8" manager body-slammed the woman with whom he was tangling, one of the plate throwers launched a chair at him. He responded by throwing the chair back at the woman, knocking her to the ground. Further chair tossing followed before the attackers finally left IHOP and Al-Harani staggered away. The IHOP employee, who was bleeding profusely from cuts to his head and face, was later transported to a local hospital. Al-Harani told officers that one of the reasons why the suspects got so upset was because he kept calling them sirs, even though the suspects were dressed like ladies. The police report identifies the assailants, both men and women, as between the ages of 20 and 25. Memphis police have not made any arrests in connection with the 12:30 a.m. incident, which has been classified as felony aggravated assault. So, Memphis, two viral videos, back to back. Congratulations.
Man, those people need to be arrested for sure.
Oh my God, the video is crazy.
It sounds crazy.
Because they just beeped all the cussing out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I have not found an uncensored version.
There should be one out there.
It just sounds like this. Beep. Like, why? Just put a long beep.
Yeah, just don't do audio. How about that? How about, like, when there's, you don't need it.
Well, when the manager had the one woman up, like, he was going to tombstone pile drive her into the table and then body slammed her. That was when you heard the woman go, no, 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 no.
Now, is there a point where it's okay for the man to fight back and, like...
You know what? In this Me Too time, yes, when the woman starts swinging, it is okay to fight back. You're allowed to defend yourself. Whew. All right, it's time for a palate cleanser. How about some chicken, Jason?
I love chicken.
Well, who doesn't love chicken? I mean, how much do you love chicken?
I could eat fried chicken every single day.
Do you love chicken enough to break into someone's home and cook yourself some chicken nuggets?
Depends. Do they have a deep fryer?
Well, you don't love them as much as this guy. A Minnesota man broke into a home early Saturday morning and cooked himself children's chicken nuggets, as opposed to the adult ones, before police arrived and took him into custody. Investigators say that Dylan Bradley Madden, 21, entered a Mankato home through an unlocked garage door around 2 a.m. The residence was occupied at the time by a woman and her two juvenile children. Madden looks like every bearded 21-year-old you know. Found his way into the kitchen where he cooked chicken nuggets and got himself a drink. The homeowner, who confronted Madden inside the residence, told police the intruder appeared inebriated. No shit. The subsequent breath test recorded Madden's blood alcohol at just 0.10, which is just above the legal limit. Cops noted he did not appear to be intoxicated to the point of not being able to make conscious decisions. But he's been arrested before. He has a rap sheet, including a 2016 felony conviction for which he was sentenced to 5 years probation. He violated the terms of his release last year, but court records do not indicate what additional punishment may have been levied against him. The tags on this story are Minnesota, burglary, and chicken nuggets.
Oh, how you find your news.
It's true.
Search chicken nuggets.
Well, and chicken's getting more people in trouble, Jason. It's not just that. A Georgia couple is going to be serving some hard time. They're convicted of attacking a restaurant owner and her teenage daughter over a cold takeout chicken, have been shipped off to state prison to begin serving lengthy sentences for the beatdown, the video of which was recorded by surveillance camera and then went viral. State records show that Nathaniel Smith, 45, and Latasha Smith, 29, were transferred in the past 2 weeks from a county jail to the custody of Georgia Department of Corrections. The Smiths, there's their mugshot. Yay. They're going to the lockdown. Nathaniel's locked up in Georgia Diagnostic and Classification Prison in Jackson. which holds upwards of 2,500 prisoners. Sorry, be a big prison. He will likely be sent to another state institution within the next couple of months. Latasha is at the Arundale State Prison in Alto, about 75 miles northeast of Atlanta. They pleaded guilty to an assault last June at the Quick Chick takeout stand.
The stand?
Yeah, and Quick is spelled with a Q. According to police, Q-W-I-K, by the way. According to police, the couple had complained to the owner, Jeanette Norris, that their chicken was cold and they received a paltry amount of French fries. After refunding the couple's money, Norris dialed 911 when the duo continued to be belligerent. Latasha subsequently then began pummeling Norris at the rear of the Quick Chick when her 15-year-old daughter got out of the vehicle to help her mother. Nathaniel sucker punched the girl in the face. He sucker punched a 15-year-old girl. What a classy individual he is. Let's take a look at this, Jason. Latasha was sentenced to 10 years in custody for aggravated battery, convicted of cruelty to children. Nathaniel was sentenced to 15 years in jail. He's previously served state time for the sale and distribution of cocaine and marijuana. Yep, so there's the woman. Oh, that was not okay. Holy hell. Damn, Daniel. Wow. Let's take a look at that again. I know this is sped up, but oh! That dude weighs about 300 pounds, I would guess. He's a big dude.
Yeah, and kudos to her for just getting up right afterwards.
Oh, yeah, she popped right up. Popped right up. Unbelievable.
Man.
All over chicken. People love their chicken.
Get the fuck out of here.
People love their chicken way too much.
And I wonder what Kareem, was Kareem here when we played that video?
I believe he was. I don't recall his reaction.
I was going to say, did he say that that lady probably said the N-word or something?
Yeah, he probably, that sounds about right. But
I think that would make me change my...
Yeah, here's what really happened. That little girl got out of the truck, she said the N-word, and that's when he punched her in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, not justified. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not okay. Mm. All right. Meanwhile, in Oregon, a judge had to break out of his own courtroom. A Clackamas County judge was locked inside her courtroom on a weekend earlier this month. She used a bench to try and break open the courtroom doors, which caused damage the county says will cost $3,000 to repair. That includes reinstalling marble on the framing above Judge Susie Norby's courtroom doors, and it will be paid through the county's general fund. That's according to the county spokesman. An Oregon City-based courthouse is run by the county, and the general fund is made up of revenue that includes property taxes. Norby, a county circuit judge since 2007, said she inadvertently locked herself in her courtroom late on March 4th, away from her key and cell phone. She was trapped in the third floor courtroom for more than an hour before being let out by a deputy on duty.
Get the fuck out of here. She caused that much damage and she wasn't even in there for like over an hour.
But before he arrived, she apparently loosened the marble at the top of the exterior of the door when she repeatedly used a wooden bench from the court gallery as a battering ram in an effort to escape.
Get the fuck out of here. She needs to be fired. She needs to get the fuck out of there because... It wasn't even over an hour. Like you wait to start fucking like breaking shit for like at least 2 hours. Like you put a moratorium and to be like,
bang on the doors.
Yeah, bang on the doors.
Yell.
There has to be a phone in the courtroom somewhere. She could have called somebody.
Well, she didn't know about it apparently.
Yeah, because she just freaked out because she didn't have her cell phone because she's like 90% of Americans out there that freak out as soon as they don't have their cell phone.
That's why you get an Apple Watch.
Oh, my gosh, man.
Then you always have it with you. At the very least, she should have to pay the $3,000
for real. For real.
She said she didn't realize there were any issues until the next day when a court staffer pointed out the marble above her door was loose. Facilities management workers removed it as a precaution. That's also when she told the presiding judge, Kathy Steele, and maintenance supervisor about getting locked in. Norby said safeguards have since been put in place to make sure it doesn't happen to anybody else. Uh-huh. How about you get some male judges up there in Oregon?
Wow.
How about that? How about Kathy and Susie? Judge Kathy and Judge Susie. Do you think Judge Judy would be hammering on the? Yeah, she would be. Anyway, one of Norby's courtroom doors also has an estimated 2-inch split that needs to be fixed. She said, I feel deeply sad to have caused harm to our beautiful and historic building. It is a building I cherish, respect, and I'm proud and grateful to work in.
Except for that hour.
Right. Norby said she offered to pay for the damage, but was later told the cost was believed to be negligible and for labor only. She said the repeated ramming didn't crack the marble and said the same piece has been reinstalled above the courtroom doors. Okay, well, at least she offered to pay.
All right.
According to Norby, she went to the courthouse around 9 p.m. to prepare for a Monday morning docket. The courthouse had been open the day before for a high school mock trial competition. As a security precaution related to that, hard keys rather than key cards normally used were required to open the doors from the courtroom to the judge's chambers. Some bailiff somewhere is going to get chewed out for this. You know who's going to get nothing for this? The judge.
Yeah.
Judge Battering Ram. Judge Susie Battering Ram. Meanwhile, in Michigan, a Pinconning man is in jail after allegedly employing a novel method of burglarizing a party store. What, you ask? Well, police say he crashed a stolen snowmobile through the business's front door. And then he stole a bunch of cigarettes and lottery tickets.
Man, you cannot steal lottery tickets. Don't be a fucking idiot, man. They log that shit.
Hey, man, I'm going to get rich. Around 12:40 a.m. on a Tuesday, Bay County Sheriff's deputies responded to an alarm at Dory's Party Store on East Beaver Road in Caw Collin Township. When they arrived, deputies saw the front door had been smashed and that someone had entered the building. The intruder made off with cigarettes and lottery tickets. The deputies noticed snowmobile tracks leading away from the scene. As they investigated, they were alerted that a snowmobile had crashed into a ditch about a half mile away. Deputies went to the crash site and spotted a snowmobile's rider who took off running. Deputies pursued and soon caught the man. He was identified as 38-year-old Michael P. Stark. Deputies also learned the snowmobile had been stolen off a trailer at a residence within a few miles of the party store. Last Wednesday, he appeared before the Bay County District Court, Timothy J. Kelly, who did not lock himself in a courtroom, on single counts of breaking and entering with intent to commit larceny, unlawfully stealing a motor vehicle, larceny in a building, and assaulting, obstructing, or resisting police. Whew, that's a lot. The charges are 10, 5, 4, and 2-year felonies, respectively. Oh, by the way, he has a lengthy criminal record, shockingly enough. So he's probably going to get the maximum penalty. Kelly also arraigned Stark on an unrelated charge of second offense possession of a controlled substance, something he'd been wanted on since October. When he was questioned by Kelly, Stark said he quit school in the seventh grade. Stay in school, kids.
Yeah.
Or you'll end up crashing a stolen snowmobile into a party store to steal cigarettes and lottery tickets.
I still don't get how, that guy's younger than me. I can't imagine somebody not graduate, like getting past seventh grade. Like, but I also grew up in the suburbs of California. So I guess, like, that's just crazy, man. Like, dropping out at seventh grade. Like, how does that happen?
Well, here's some video of it happening. Here's the snowmobile. And boom! Right in. By the way, if you've never driven a snowmobile, they're not the best for ramming things. The security video is amazing. Oh, unbelievable.
Man.
Oh, that's wintertime in Michigan, in case you're wondering.
People are going crazy out here.
Well, you know, it happens. It happens, and then people lose their mind, and it's a bad time. Very, very bad time. All right, hold on. Let me go back to here. See, I knew I made a mistake, but I'm going to rectify it right now.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Our first story is a felony. That's right, a Florida dog owner is facing felony battery charge, but it has nothing to do with his dog. Don't worry, the dog's okay. See, he allegedly clobbered another man in the face with a tennis ball launcher dog toy.
Oh, man.
Thomas Phillips, 31, was at the dog run outside his Gainesville apartment complex on a Monday evening when his pooch, unburdened by a leash, attacked a canine owned by Matthew Hester. Hester explained that his leash dog was being repeatedly bitten and attacked by Phillips' dog. As Hester, who's 33, tried to separate the animals, his dog slipped out of its collar and leash, which Hester then swung at the attacking dog to get it to let go. At this point, investigators allege Phillips came running over, but instead of trying to stop the dog scrum, Phillips struck Hester in the face with a large green tennis ball launcher dog toy. The hard plastic launcher is about 3 feet long, cops noted. When police arrived at the dog run, Hester had swelling, redness, and an abrasion, which were, quote, consistent with being struck in the face with a tennis ball launcher.
Oh, we saw this last week.
Right? It's consistent with that. Phillips, who denied walloping Hester with the launcher, was arrested for aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. Wow. He was booked into the county jail on a felony charge. Phillips was released from custody the next day on his own recognizance and ordered to have no contact with Hester or his face. Unbelievable.
Wow.
And sometimes, you know, you want to trust the police. I mean, unless you're Kareem, you want to trust the police. But sometimes they just make it so very difficult for you to trust them. Especially when you're in Florida. A Florida lieutenant was suspended from her post after she was caught drunk driving by her fellow officers. That's right. Lieutenant Christy Roots of Pinellas County, Florida, was reported driving in reverse and honking her horn around 2 a.m. on Sunday. That's right. Let me repeat that for you. Driving in reverse and honking her horn around 2 a.m. on a Sunday. A police call from the scene alerted police to her erratic driving. Deputies arrived at the intersection and found her alone in the vehicle. Her eyes were bloodshot and glassy. She also had, quote, the distinct odor of an alcoholic beverage coming from her mouth. The officers had her perform sobriety tests, which she performed poorly on. That's according to the Tampa Bay Times. There's a lot of pictures of her in the Daily Mail here, and, you know, as a pirate at Halloween with her dog. Yeah. She at first refused to give officers a breath sample for the criminal investigation, but eventually was forced to. The results revealed she had blood alcohol levels of 0.14 and 0.13, well above the state impairment bar at 0.08. She was immediately terminated from her job as per sheriff's policy. Following her termination, she was taken to jail. That's a rough day.
Wow.
You get drunk, you get arrested, you get fired, and you get taken to jail. Boom, 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 boom. She was released on her own recognizance. The same night, 12 other area drivers were charged with DUIs in a crackdown by multiple police forces in the area. So you would have thought she would have realized there was going to be a crackdown. Just saying.
Like, I just wonder what was going on to where, like, she was driving, like, her alcohol level was 0.14, which isn't that much.
It's almost twice the legal limit.
Okay, I'm not saying that, like, she shouldn't have been driving, but
It's not blackout drunk.
I guess she could have been blackout. Everybody is at different levels, I guess, but I just... Why was she driving around backwards with the honking the horn? I feel like there has to be more to the story, you know? There has to be more to the story. There has to be a reason. But maybe that's my flaw as a human, is that I always think there has to be a reason, and people aren't just fucking crazy. And really, it just comes down to...
Well, since Graham's not here, let me explain to you the reason. White people.
She was a white woman.
white people and Florida. There you go. I've explained it to you. And all it's like Kareem is here.
I guess so.
he and I are of one mind. It's white people and Florida. Which led me to this. I was not aware this was a thing, but I like to check the moments on Twitter every day, kind of things that are going on. Yeah. Where I found out that there is a museum in L.A. that's dedicated to failed products. That's right. It's the Museum of Failure.
Where is that, Trump?
Well, Jason, funny you should ask that. Right there.
Okay.
Good. One of the exhibits is Trump the Game.
Yeah.
Trump the Game. I actually own a copy of Trump the Game.
Oh, yeah?
I do. I might have thrown it away. I had a copy of it.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be so fun.
Not that same box that's in this example. This box is sort of a reddish gold. The one I have is black.
I would love to get, like...
It's like bad Monopoly.
I don't get drunk anymore, but it'd be great to get drunk and play that game at a bar.
It's actually currently on tour, so...
Great. Yeah.
It's apparently moved to its new location at Hollywood and Highland in L.A. It says March 8th. Oh, it's there for a year. March 8th, 2018 to March 8th, 2019. We should go.
Yeah, we should.
Podcast outing. And in June, the Museum of Failure will open its doors in Sweden at its new location at the Dunkers.
Oh, at the Dunkers.
Right at the Dunkers.
Who doesn't love the Dunkers?
At the Dunkers. And my favorite is the hashtag that they have. It's hashtag come fail with us, but they have spaces. So it wouldn't work, which is really ironic, but perfect.
Yeah.
Perfectly ironic.
I wonder if they know that they did that.
They have to.
They have to, right?
They also have merch. They have a ringer tee.
what's a ringer tee say on it?
It's got all a bunch of failed products. It's, let's see what we got here. Coca-Cola Black.
Oh, okay. I remember that.
Coke 2.
Oh, I remember that.
Heinz Green Sauce. That looks like an Amazon Fire. Oh, the Amazon Phone.
Yeah.
Amazon Fire Phone. That is some sort of Apple device. I don't know what it is.
Oh yeah, that was their personal. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Colgate beef lasagna flavored toothpaste.
Back in the day, that's like going way back.
And Orbitz, which was the drink that had the little
tapioca balls.
Right? Anyway,
I'd be down with that shirt. What were they thinking?
So some of the things they feature there are Crystal Pepsi, Kellogg's OJ's. the Colgate beef lasagna that was previously mentioned. There's a whole display of failed Oreos. It's the unfortunately flavored Oreo cookie packages. They have a Harley Davidson fragrance that smells like, and I quote, hot road. they also have Google Glass, and Bic pens for her. I don't know why that failed. Why would that fail? OJ's cereal was the bomb. Kellogg's should bring them back. And they have a quote on the wall. It says, giving up on your goal because one setback is like slashing your other three tires because you got a flat. Well, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So the Museum of Failure, Hollywood and Highland in L.A., maybe get a nice $20 mug.
Mm-hmm.
A color. Oh, it's a color changing mug. Nice.
Ah, nice.
So much good stuff. And a magnet too with all of the same things as
the shirt.
A $10 magnet? How big is this magnet? I'm not paying that much for a magnet. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. I apologize.
It's to push you to buy the shirt.
Right. All right. Well, I think we've reached a point where we can remind people that if you're going to be shopping Amazon anyway, please go ahead and do it through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. We do appreciate it. To help support the show, it doesn't cost you anything extra. So please and thank you very much.
Thank you.
All that stuff. I need to buy Jason a new mic stand.
Yeah, help us out.
Yeah, because Kareem's not here, so he gets to use the one good one we have.
Yeah.
But we have to buy more. It's not good.
Well, I'm better at speaking into the mic.
That's true. That's true. All of those things are very true. Kareem's somewhere around the mic. We need to get Kareem a bigger mic. That's what we need to get.
Wait,
him.
Talk. Wait, what's that?
We mocked because he's not here.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town.
Let's. Look at Speak Out from the Press Republican in Plattsburgh, New York. Hey, turning off your lights won't save a penny. If you have electric heat during heating season, all the power used by the lights ends up as heat. Turn them off and your heat will run an equal amount to create the same room temperature. Zero saving. Same with your oven and range.
No. Don't listen to what this fucker is saying. You cannot use your range or your oven as a heating device.
No. But if you but cook with your oven, go ahead. It's not going to save you any money by not cooking with your oven.
Who would fucking think that? And like, if you're in your head thinking that hard about the energy you're using, like when it comes to cooking your fucking food and heating your house.
I will tell you this, Jason. When I lived where it was cold, God, life was miserable. If I would make something in the oven, when I would take it out of the oven, I would leave the oven door open. I would turn the oven off.
Yeah, what's that?
Open the oven door to let that heat out into the room.
Yeah, that's totally fine. I get that.
That's all he's saying. He's saying cook with your oven.
Yeah. But it sounds like he might be promoting heat with your oven.
Well, he clearly doesn't have have any LED bulbs in his house.
Does not.
No. I strongly disagree with the speak-outer who claims the NRA bears no responsibility for gun carnage. They use the incorrect analogy of, you don't blame Ford if a drunk driver kills someone, but in fact, cars and alcohol are regulated. Why aren't guns properly regulated? Ask the NRA. Well, I'll tell you why, because the NRA pays to not have that happen. That's why. The student who just killed his parents at Central Michigan University used his police officer father's gun. Maybe the gun should be attached with a cable to the licensed trained individual. Another case of a trained individual killed by his own weapon. Guns kill, baby, guns kill. It's a very dark speak out this week.
Yeah. Wow.
Regarding the front page opioid story, last year I had surgery locally and was prescribed 30 oxycodone. I had taken a few 20 years earlier for a severe accident-related surgery and got severe constipation, which led to another surgery a few years later. TMI.
TMI, bro.
I didn't take any of the 30 pills, and I feel the amount prescribed was uncalled for. Well, they don't fill the prescription. As bad as last year's surgery pain was, a far less potent painkiller would have been adequate. I took nothing. Well, then don't fill the prescription.
Yeah, now you just have, like, those pills out in the fucking, like, now somebody can come steal them from your house.
Right. You know what this, he just wanted to run into speak out to brag about his severe constipation.
Yeah, he just wanted to tell everybody that he had a hard time taking a shit.
For 3 years. Until they finally operated and got his big colon taken out. Look how tough I am, I don't need anything like that.
Get the fuck out of here, man.
I'm disgusted. I just got a call, pick up the kids early due to big storm. 4:30, barely a snowflake as I leave work. Thanks for being such a bunch of flakes.
They want to make sure that you don't come a little bit later and your kids don't get stuck in the fucking blizzard that's coming later on that night. What don't people fucking understand about shit? Like they're making preparation, right? Isn't that what they're doing? They're preparing you.
Sure.
So you're not stuck. Okay, sorry.
That's what they're trying to do.
That's what they're trying to
do. What the person is saying is it ain't snowing yet.
Good. That's a good time to come pick up the kids.
Listen, welcome to Plattsburgh, New York. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, man.
Hey, why can't the police patrol roads like Turner Road, Soper Street? These hopped-up cars and trucks are speeding on these roads at all hours of the day and night. There are children on these roads that play and wait to get on school buses. Just stop you crying, it's a sign
of the time. Says Mr. Jenkins.
City police cruiser drove by me on South Catherine during the snowfall. Visibility was low and the cruiser had no headlamps or daytime running lights illuminated. Notwithstanding the law about headlamps while raining or precipitating, isn't it common sense? And why don't these cruisers have daytime running lights? Why don't all vehicles have DRLs and automatic headlamps? Cars driving without headlamps is a common sight.
Fair point. And I think an appropriate place to bring it up.
At least about the cop cars.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. And the reason a lot of them don't have it is because they have old cars. Mr. Mayor and council members, just remember who put in those seats and who can take you out of them just as fast. It's time to think about the people of Plattsburgh and the retired people getting their medical. They worked hard for 20 years or more to serve the city. Stop thinking for yourselves and do something about it. Yeah, it says stop thinking or yourselves and do something about it. Earn your money and respect with the city.
There's nothing to say about it. You're like, no, God, okay.
Dairy farming co-ops need to regulate milk supply so that dairy farmers can be assured that they have a reasonable return for their investment in labor. Without reasonable profits, there's no value in the investment, and the next generation won't be in the farming industry. Okay. The reader that said blaming guns is like blaming cars for deaths, wrong! Cars are a necessary part of everyday life. Guns absolutely are not. Cars' primary function is great usefulness in our lives. Guns' primary function is to end our lives. Both are good at their jobs. The Crate Civic Center is just one more example of the city and county that build something and then let it decline without spending enough or devote enough manpower to maintain it properly. The Plattsburgh area continues to die a slow death with lousy wages and little to do for residents. Being cheap all the time only kills the area and the people leave in droves.
Wow.
Of course, if they spent any money on doing any of that stuff, people would write in to speak out complaining that they were wasting money.
Nice green lawn in front of the Crate Center. Your tax dollars at work!
By the way, just for the record, the Crate Center, I don't know exactly when it was built, but I don't ever remember it not being around. Let me see if I can find it really quickly. Thanks, Wikipedia. Tell me when it was built. Even Wikipedia won't tell me when it was built. Oh, 1974 establishment. It was built in 1974. Yeah, it's the Plattsburgh Rec Department has stuff there. They have open pickleball. What more do you want?
Is pickleball where you have
I don't know.
I'm thinking of broomball, I think.
Probably. And finally, and this is the important one. Why doesn't the town of Peru use salt when they plow the roads after a snowstorm? This year the roads have been terrible. What are we paying taxes for?
Why are they concerned about a town in Peru?
No, it's the town of Peru. Oh.
There's a town named Peru?
Peru, New York, yes.
Is it full of a bunch of Peruvians?
No, a bunch of apple orchards.
I need to look at the entomology of the word Peru.
Let me just tell you something. Don't try and use logic to make sense of anything there. It'll never make sense to you. You'll never figure it out. I've just saved you a lot of time.
All right, cool.
All right. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening. On Friday, we have a little bit of a different show for you. Jason and I are going to be telling stories.
Oh.
So it's not going to be the same newsy nonsensical. There'll be no Alex Jones yelling at things, probably. It's just a show with a little bit of an improv tinge to it. So check that out on Friday. Until then, be safe, be classy, and don't be an asshole. Thanks.